And let's go to Philippians chapter number 2 this morning. We finished up Nehemiah last week on Father's Day. We preached on the subject, a man's man or God's man? A man's man or God's man? Well, this morning we want to come back now and we want to get back into the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2. We've been preaching through this book along with Nehemiah, kind of going back and forth. So I want to focus several weeks now on Philippians and try to work our way through chapter 2. Philippians chapter number 2. We know one of the greatest causes for stress in our lives is when our relationships are characterized by friction and contention and strife. Man, when you've got problems at work with people, it can really affect your life and bring a lot of stress. When there's problems at home between you and your wife, or there's problems with a teenager, you know, at home, and there's just friction, and man, it can just make life miserable. When your friendships are full of friction and contention, when you're maybe you've got friction with family members, boy, it can just create so much stress in our life. And I know right now I may be ringing a bell with some of you, because there are areas of your life and relationships in your life that are characterized by contention and strife and friction. And I want you to know this is not God's plan for the Christian. Romans 12, I'm going to just quote several verses in a row. Romans 12, 18 says, live peaceably with all men. Romans 14, 19 says, let us follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one we may edify one another. 1 Timothy 2, 2, Paul says, pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. 2 Corinthians 13, 11, Paul said, live in peace. Live in peace. 1 Thessalonians 5, 13, he said, be at peace among yourselves. I want you to look at Philippians 2 and notice the same thing here. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through what? Strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem, and what's the next word? Other. Better than themselves. Verse 4 is a key right here, okay? This is an absolute key to harmonious relationships. If you want harmony in the relationships of life, you ought to memorize verse 4, hide it in your heart, and let this become a life verse for you. Look at it with me. It says, look not every man on his own things. That's selfishness. I'm just worried about me and my stuff. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Others. 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 Paul says, don't be consumed and wrapped up in yourself. But rather, he said, look for ways to be a blessing and a help to others. Let me put verse 4 in a nutshell for you. Here's what he's saying. Put away selfishness and learn how to serve others. You know, we live in a world today that shouts me first. You see athletes make a good play on TV and they run away from the rest of their team and they beat their chest. You know, me, baby, look at me, look at me. You know, you got athletes today, they'll sign a 5-year contract and 2 years into it, they'll hold out because they'll say, well, I don't like that contract. You know, I want a new one. And we live in a world today that's shouting to our young people, me first, me first, me first. And selfishness is a trait that used to be considered rude. But today, it's not only tolerated, it's in style. And it could it be that that's why the divorce rate is 50%? Could it be that's why half of all marriages end up in divorce? Could it be why that's why second marriages, the divorce rate is 67%, 2 out of every 3? Could it be that's why that the divorce rate for a third marriage is 75%? When you have two people with the attitude, me first, you get two people that are in a friendship, a marriage, a work relationship, whatever. You get two people with the attitude, me first. And Job 5:7 might as well be your life verse. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. How's that for a verse? Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I wonder how many of us that's our life verse, huh? You know, we could just put that over our home. you know, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly up, or what, you get two people together with a me first attitude, that's their life verse. Paul gives us here in Philippians 2:4 the key to harmonious relationships. Let's look at it again and let's say it together. Will you say the verse with me? Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what Paul says the key to harmony is in relationships? Put away selfishness and learn to live for others. Put away selfishness and learn to live for others. How do we do that though? How do we do that? Well, number one, in your handout, it says we must consider, first of all, the cause of selfishness. Now, why are we selfish? Well, it's really not overly complex. It's kind of simple, really. Selfishness is ingrained in our natural fleshly inclination towards sin. I mean, it really is. You know, think about it. We did not come out of the womb praising God, did we? We came out of the womb, how? Screaming and kicking, amen? And think about this. Think about this. When little children are toddlers and they can't even talk yet, if they're playing with a toy and another kid comes and wants the toy, what's their attitude? Oh, great, you take it. No. It's my toy, if they can talk, you know, my toy. And man, they start fighting and fussing over that toy, you know. What, you know, think about this. Why did Eve, the first woman, why did Eve eat of the forbidden tree? I mean, good night, she had every tree in the garden. She could eat of any tree she wanted. So why'd she have to eat of that tree that God said not to eat of? Selfishness. It looked good, the Bible says, to her eye. She wanted it. She took that which didn't belong to her and ate it. Why? She wanted it. We all come out of the loins of Adam and Eve. Amen. Now, look, we all maybe got here a different route, but we can all trace our roots back to Adam and Eve. Amen. We can all trace it back to them. We've all, you know, I mean, the bottom line is this, and it's in your handout, that we're selfish because we love ourselves. That's the bottom line. We're selfish because we love ourselves. What did Jesus say? The second greatest command was, you may remember, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, we shorten the verse to love thyself. Love thyself. We just kind of shorten up the verse. Love thyself. I want you to look in your handout and notice what Paul says the last days are going to be like. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous means fierce, furious, dangerous, difficult times. Why? Why are they going to be furious and dangerous? He said, number one, the very first thing out of the chute, and he lists a whole list of stuff that's going to characterize the last days. And notice what the first one is out of the chute here. For men shall be lovers of their what? Own selves. And notice, covetous. I want what I want. See? Boasters. It's all about me. Proud. Look at me. Look what I did. Blasphemers. Mad at God because God doesn't give us what we want. Disobedient to parents, which is a characteristic of selfishness. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Unthankful. See, selfish people are unthankful people. They can't see their blessings. Unholy. Notice how it's all built here on this thing of lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. Why are we selfish? Well, we love ourselves. We love ourselves. It's kind of humorous to me how psychology gets everything all backwards, you know. And somebody goes in to see a psychologist many times, not all the time, but a lot of times, and what's their answer to the problems they've got? You need to love yourself. You know, love yourself more. Well, usually that's what gets us into the predicament and the problems we're in, is because we're too self-centered, we're too focused on us, focused on our issues, our problems, and we're blaming everybody else for our issues. And so usually the problem is not that we don't love ourselves. No, loving ourselves comes really natural, okay? When Eve took the fruit, it's because she loved herself more than she loved God. The second thing is this. we must understand the consequences of selfishness. Okay? Now, when we choose to love ourselves more than we love others and more than we love God, what are the consequences? Well, here they are. Number one, we cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus told the 12 during His earthly ministry to Israel. Now, I know this is dealing with the coming tribulation, the kingdom, and I understand the context, but I still think there's a valuable principle here that Christ taught. Can we bring it up on the screen, please? Look at Matthew 16:24. Now, notice the words here. Notice the words. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him what? Deny himself, not love himself, deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Romans 12:1. It's in your handout there at the bottom if you'll look at it, please. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you know what happens when I offer myself to God as a living sacrifice? Two verses later, let me bring it up on the screen, Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more what, church? Highly than he ought to think. See? But you start thinking soberly about yourself, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's what happens when we do that. See? Christ was the ultimate giver, wasn't he? Christ gave of himself on the cross. If you're going to follow Christ, you can't have a me-first attitude, because Christ did. So if you're going to follow Christ, you got to have His attitude. And the attitude of Christ was others first, not me first. The second consequence of selfishness is that we will miss God's blessing. You know, we're going to miss the blessing of God when we live for ourselves. When we live selfishly, we miss a blessing. You know, I'm going to use you, Clint, as an illustration. I hope you don't mind. It's good. It's favorable. And Clint's my 18-year-old. And yesterday morning, my two little boys had a football game at 8 a.m. in the morning. No. Saturday. Well, Clint has put in a ton of hours at work this week and is just beat exhausted, and that's his one morning to get some sleep. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, I went in. I said, hey, man, you going to the football game? He went, mm-hmm. I said, you going to the football game, the boys' football game? He's like, I'm exhausted. I don't think so. I said, okay, I understand. And I did understand. I was just going to let him be. About 15 minutes later, I hear him up in the bathroom getting ready. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm going to the football game. And you know, he ended up going to that game at 8 a.m. We had to leave at 7:15 to get there in the morning. And Clint, did you get a blessing from it? Amen. If you wouldn't have gone, would you have missed a blessing? Yes. Because we won. But, I mean, really, it was a great game. It was an incredible game. Went down to the last couple minutes and we won the game. And his brothers just played outstanding. And he would have missed all that. Now, he didn't have to go. It was just it wasn't a me first. It was a others first attitude. And nobody would have blamed him if he wouldn't have. My point is there's so much joy in giving, folks. There is so much joy when we give of ourselves. Jesus said, it is more blessed to what? To give than to what? Receive. We miss that blessing when we are selfish. I'm going to read you something that it really hit me hard when I read this. Listen to this. I'm just going to read it to you. Luke 14, Jesus said in verse 12, then said He to them that bade Him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, listen to this, nor thy rich neighbors. I like that. Lest they also bid thee again and recompense be made thee. In other words, you invite them, they're gonna recompense, they're gonna pay you back and do it, and they're gonna give back to you. Now listen to this. But when thou makest a feast, Jesus said, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Isn't that a great passage? He says, man, if you're making a feast, don't just call people who can pay you back bigger. He said, get people that can't pay you back. Live for others. Have an unselfish attitude. He said, and thou shalt be blessed. I'm not talking about that if you give, you're just going to get back money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those internal blessings, that joy that comes from giving of yourself, giving of your resources, giving of your time, giving of your talent to help other people out. I'm going to tell you something this morning. A selfish person is a lonely, miserable person. There's people all over town this morning, and they're miserable. And it's because they're selfish. Somebody who is unselfish and giving is so blessed. Number three, the consequences of selfishness. Number three, we will never be able to demonstrate true love. When we're selfish, we can never demonstrate true love. You say, why? Look in your handout with me at a verse I got there. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly what, church? Love. But notice this. In honor, how do I show that love? In honor, what do? Come on, say it with me. In honor, preferring one another. I prefer you and your desires over mine. In your handout, it says true love means giving of yourself. True love means giving of yourself. Listen to me now and never forget what I'm about to say. And you may want to write it in your handout. It's not in your handout, so you may want to write this. I don't want you to ever forget this, church. True love equals sacrifice. Now you write that down, you remember that, or tuck it away. True love equals sacrifice. How can I demonstrate love to my wife if I am selfish and self-centered and I only care about Dan Proctor and my needs? That doesn't speak love at all to her. How can I love my kids? How can I love my friends if I am selfish and self-centered and only caring about me? The very essence of love is giving. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He what?
Gave.
He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. True love equals sacrifice. True love is giving. Aren't you glad Christ gave His life on the cross for us?
Amen.
So I wouldn't have to go to hell. So I could be forever with Him in heaven. He died. He took my sin payment that I owed, which would be eternal death in hell. And He took that sin payment and He paid it in full on the cross. The very essence of love is giving. What's the next consequence of selfishness? Number four, here's the last thing I want to share with you. Here's a consequence of selfishness. Contention will follow us everywhere we go. When you're selfish, just expect contention to follow you everywhere you go. What's the middle letter in the word pride? I. And the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Self-centered and selfish people have problems relationally in all different areas of life. Let me say that again. Selfish, self-centered people, they have problems everywhere they go. Selfish, self-centered people that are concerned about themselves all the time and what's going to make them happy, they have problems in marriage, making a marriage work. They have problem at work. They have problems in their friendships. They have problems with their children. Selfish, self-centered people have problems everywhere they go. Let's look at the next thing in your handout. It says, if we're going to overcome this thing of selfishness and learn to live for others, number three, we must realize God's command concerning selfishness. Now, please listen closely to me. Please listen. Maybe until now, you've never really considered selfishness as a sin against God. It could be that you thought, well, that's just the way I am. Everybody's selfish. Everybody looks out for number one. That's just the world we live in. You never really looked at it as a sin against God. Did you know that once we're saved and once we know Christ as our Savior, did you know God expects us to put away selfishness? Did you know selfishness is part of the old man? It's not part of the new man that God's made you in Christ? In your handout, look at what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:15. The Bible says that Christ died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto, say it with me, themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. God says, part of the new man that He's made you in Christ, and by the way, it's in that same text, two verses later, He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. He says that when we get saved, when we trust the Lord, the one who died for us, He says we don't do that and then just go out and live for ourselves, but we live unto Him. And the way we live unto Christ is by living unto others. This isn't a suggestion, folks. Look in your text again, Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Does that sound like a command or a suggestion? Yeah, that's in the imperative mode. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. God wants us to put away selfishness and put on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Number four, last thing. We must apply the cure to selfishness. How do we develop an others-first attitude in a me-first world? How do I develop an others-first attitude in a me-first world? Do y'all agree with me that we live in a me-first world? Sure we do. Paul said that it would be that way. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud. You know that? Paul said that's the way it was going to be. Well, yeah, we live in a me-first world. Life revolves around me. You know, my little corner of the planet, life revolves around me. Well, but yet the way of Christ is others first. The way that Paul taught the church is, You look not on your own thing, but first you look on the things of others. So, how do I develop that kind of an attitude? Quickly, let me give you this. Number one, accept Christ as your personal Savior. This is where it all begins. You say, why? Because selfishness is part of our fleshly instincts. Okay? Selfishness is very natural to our fleshly instincts. But loving sacrifice is supernatural. Okay, now let me say that again. Selfishness is very natural. But giving of ourselves unselfishly and sacrificing for others, that's supernatural. And it can only come from God's Spirit living inside of us. Now, let me ask you a question this morning, church. Who was the ultimate servant that ever walked the earth? Somebody tell me, who was the ultimate servant? Yeah, Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate servant. When Christ's Spirit lives inside of you, you have supernatural power to overcome selfishness. When you are saved, you have that power of Christ within you to love people unselfishly. But until you're saved, the Bible teaches we're lost in our sins. We're in bondage to our sins. It's kind of like, you know, when people come and they come for marriage counseling, many times they'll come to Kathy or maybe one of the pastors, and they come for marriage counseling. There's problems, friction, you know, all kinds of stuff going on in the marriage. And that happens, you know, all the time. And, you know, the very first thing that Kathy, which is our counselor on staff, or one of the pastors, the very first thing that we're going to do in the counseling is find out, is the husband and wife both saved? The very first thing you do. Why? Well, because if they're both not saved, and if they don't know the Lord and they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them, then really what you're trying to do is you're trying to kind of put a Band-Aid on the thing, you know. But you can't really get to the root of the issue unless they... And by the way, let me say this. If you know Christ is your Savior and His Spirit lives inside of you, and your spouse knows Christ as her Savior, and the Spirit of Christ lives in her. Okay? So, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, she's got the Holy Spirit in her. Is the Holy Spirit compatible with Himself? Yes or no? Yeah. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's compatible with Himself. So, if those two people aren't compatible and they're contention and stress, then that lets you know somebody's not letting the Holy Spirit live through them. Because the Holy Spirit's compatible with Himself. Does that make any sense, or are y'all asleep this morning? All right. That makes sense, doesn't it? Holy Spirit's compatible with Himself. So that means the flesh. That means selfishness. That means the old man is rearing up there somewhere. Holy Spirit's not living through either one or both. You say, yep, it's the other one. I'll tell you that. Number two, what's the cure to selfishness? Well, once you've accepted Christ, number two, allow God's Holy Spirit to fill you. There's two ways you can live your Christian life. Every morning you wake up and make a decision. Now, here it is. It's real simple. Okay, the Christian life's not complex. It's really, at its basic form, it's a simple thing. When you wake up in the morning, every morning, you make a choice. You live your Christian life one of two ways. You either live your life in a way that grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit within you, or you make a choice, I'm going to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit today. One or the other. I'm either going to grieve the Spirit, or I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. In your handout, it says, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. In other words, don't let alcohol control you. But what should I allow to control me? What does it say? But be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit should control me. When I'm depending on Christ, and when I'm obeying His Word, guess what? The Spirit fills me. Christ lives through me. I love Denise. I love my children. I love my friends. I love you. God's love lives through me when I wake up in the morning and I decide I'm going to be filled with the Spirit and obey His Word and depend on Christ. But when I'm living in my own power and strength, when I'm living independently of God and His Word, I grieve the Spirit and I'm self-centered. Selfish, and I'm consumed with what's going to make me happy. See, number three, pray about areas in which you struggle with selfishness. Now, you know, it all goes back to prayer. Everything does, really. And, you know, you remember the series in Nehemiah? Remember the very beginning of that series in chapter 1 when we talked about Nehemiah's prayer? And I did a couple of weeks on prayer. Remember one of the things we talked about how when you pray, you can be honest with God? Just be honest with Him, you know? And here's what we can say. God, help me in this area of my life because I'm selfish. You say, oh, I could never tell God that. Does He know it anyway? Sure He knows it. Just tell Him the truth. Father in heaven, when I come from home from work in the afternoon, I come home and I tend to be very selfish, very self-centered, feeling like I deserve everybody to serve me and I don't want to give to my wife. I don't want to give to my kids. But Father, it's not right. I don't want to be that way. Help me to be more aware of when I'm being selfish. Father, may I have a heart to serve my family and serve others like You do. That's the kind of prayers we need to pray. Just open, honest, sincere. What are areas where you struggle with selfishness? Pray about it. Make it a matter of prayer. Some of you kids in here, teenagers, you're one area you struggle with is with your brothers or sisters, and you're just selfish. And you know what? You need to pray about that. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's somebody at work. I don't know, but pray about those areas. Maybe it's giving. You know, maybe you're selfish with money. And you're not very giving when it comes to money. You tend to just, you know, if you want to spend it and it's your idea, well then it's a good idea. But if your wife or somebody else, then you no. Am I hitting a hot button there? Some of you are laughing and I see a few. Few elbows there flying. But pray about the areas you're selfish in. Be honest with God. I'm telling you how to get help. Number four, last thing, and this is very important. Please don't put your handout up when we're done here. Because I want to just say a couple things from my heart. Parents, help your children to drive out foolishness. Now, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now hear me. Part of that foolishness that's bound in my kid's heart and your kid's heart. There are no angel wings on my kids. There are no halos over their head. My kids are like your kids. Foolishness is bound in their heart like the Bible says. So parents, do not tolerate a selfish spirit. Don't encourage it. Don't encourage a self-centered life in your kids. You say, how? By always giving them their way. By giving them everything they want. When they cry and they throw a temper tantrum in the store, you give in and give it to them. That's how you encourage a selfish spirit in children. That's how you create a monster. And remember this, parents. If you spoil your child and you allow them to act selfishly, remember, your kid is somebody's future husband. Your kid is somebody's future wife. Your kid is somebody's future dad. Boy, that's sobering. Your kid is somebody's future mother. Your kid is somebody's future employee. And when we allow our kids to act selfishly, we destroy their life. Our job as parents is to drive out that selfishness that comes natural to our children. Drive it out every time we see it. Make sure there's repercussions. Don't give in to that. Teach them what Christ taught. You say, what did Christ teach? Look at the screen. Matthew. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to what? Give. To give his life a ransom for many. Teach them that. Make them memorize that passage. Make them memorize that. Say, hey, we're going to have devotions this week. We're going to study this passage out. You're going to tell me what it means. And we're going to memorize this as a family this week. It's a great, great thing to do this week. It's a good homework assignment, huh? Take that home, read it as a family. Every night this week, talk about it, discuss it, implement it. You know, I'm going to end with this. There was a king, and he had a big rock, a big boulder, and he put it in the middle of the roadway. And then the king came over here like this, and he hid himself behind the bushes to see if anybody would have a heart to serve and would remove that rock from the roadway. Some of the king's wealthiest merchants came by, and they just walked around it. Some of them loudly complained, that king, he's not keeping the roads clear. And they just griped and complained. But nobody did anything to help get the stone out of the way. Then a peasant came by carrying a big load of vegetables. And he saw that big old boulder and he laid down his big burden of vegetables and he tried moving that stone to the side of the road and he pushed and he strained and he thought, man, I got to get this out of the way for somebody who may come behind me. Maybe in their way. And so he pushed and he strained. Finally, he got that thing to the side of the road. And when he was going to pick up his load of vegetables, he looked down and he noticed a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. And the purse contained a bunch of gold coins and a note from the king. And it said, the gold is for the person who removed the boulder from the roadway. One of the greatest things you can ever teach your child is how to be a servant. But you know the greatest way you teach them? Somebody tell me, what's the best way we teach them? You do it. Let them see you serving mom. Let them see you serving dad. Let them see you serving the Lord. Let them see you giving of yourself constantly for others. It's a great way to teach them. Example. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's all pray right now and let's just ask the Lord if there's areas of our life where we've been selfish.